Hello and welcome to the Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, focusing on linking business with grassroots sport. My name's David Waldridge, and in this episode, I'll be speaking with Spencer Atkin of Generation Youth, an elite champion at Koi Sports, and the grassroots organisation that he's decided to invest in, Mini Warriors, a community coaching setup that's looking to make Leicestershire active in a completely unique way. So, without further delay, let's get started on this episode of the Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.
Hi, I'm Spencer, and I run Generation Youth. So Generation Youth works with young people that are not in mainstream education for one reason or another. We work with young people sort of basically through the boxing club and work on their sort of physical and mental well-being, usually through sport. Then we use this sort of model into the community, so life skills, community access, employment, education. But yeah, sort of concentrating on young people's sort of well-being and the reason why they've sort of struggled in a mainstream setting.
So what made you start up this organisation? Because it's fairly niche, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So basically, a long time ago, I sort of... I was diagnosed with ADHD many years ago. And it was always frowned upon many years ago. And it was just seen as young people being sort of naughty or wasn't fitting into a certain setting. And I watched a lot of my friends who had children and they went on to commit crimes and wasn't sort of doing so well in school and sort of, it was not very nice to watch. So I thought I need to sort of learn a little bit about myself and my illness and also help young people. So I completed many courses and I started volunteering for the Youth Offending Service. And that was my route into sort of employment through the Youth Offending Service, helping young people stay out of custody. And I went from there, really, and I noticed that there's a lot of young people in the criminal justice system with underlying mental health problems. But they were just papered over. You know, it was not a priority many years ago. A young person had a mental health issue, but they were still classed as bad or they'd committed a crime. So that was punished first. And then they were still not getting the help and support they needed. So... And then when I left there, I wanted to see a link between some of the schools that young people were going, sort of alternate education providers. And so I managed a few of those provisions and still noticed that there was still not catering. When we say bespoke, I think sometimes that's sort of not the correct word what some of these settings use. And again, they was trying to get all young people to do one the same thing and it's failing. So I thought, you know what, in January last year, I was made redundant from a specialist school and I thought, you know what, I'll set it up and see if I can sort of bring my own ideas along. And I've not looked back since because I run a community boxing gym anyway. I had the base and I had the setting. It was just putting my ideas down on paper and sort of going from there.
So it's almost having a passion to see things being done right.
Yes. Definitely so. I think I can empathise with a lot of these young people. I'm not saying that we're, you know, everyone's different in their own way, but I noticed that the practice was still not correct in my eyes, especially for the young people that I sort of work with. Yeah, I just sort of led from my sort of my lifestyle and some of the coping strategies that I put in place for myself and to see if that worked with young people. And they seem to sort of connect with myself and say that, you know, because I explain, I'm quite open with mental illnesses. I think the more we talk about these kind of things, the better it is. I think young people see me and think, well, if Spencer can sort of go on and turn his life around or have faith in us, then I think once you believe in a young person, I think they start to believe in themselves.
So Generation Youth fills that void that certainly is there, that's often forgotten about in some ways. Why do you think, though, that it's forgotten about?
I'm still asking that question myself. I think, again, there's agendas of so many, like, you know, a school is they've got the agenda of working with groups of 30 to 35 young people in the class, and if a young person doesn't fit into that sort of category, then they're just sort of passed on and passed on and passed on. And it's a shame because some of these young people have got sort of raw talents and they just need sort of point in a different direction. You know, it may take a little while to get to the end goal and it might take sort of different strategies and changing things around, but schools have not really got the time. And I, you know, schools do an amazing job, but we're driven by results nowadays, and sometimes you don't fit into a category. You're left behind or passed on to another agency, and sometimes these agencies are getting busier and busier every day. So yeah, caseloads are going up, but these young people are still being forgotten about. Like I say, it's a real shame.
You mentioned there how different types of students and different types of people come to you at Generation Youth and learn in different ways. I was wondering if you could give us an example of maybe someone who has benefited by working with yourself at Generation Youth.
So yeah, I'll give you one example. So a couple of years ago, I was working with a young person who was diagnosed with autism. I had a bad experience in school, was bullied, again, very sensory, lots of loud noises. And I started working with this young person, and basically through his bedroom door, we had to post notes because he was so anxious about coming out into the real world, and thought he was a failure and everything else that he was been told, and how he didn't fit in. He was weird, shall we say. This is what he was being told by his peers. I just worked on his confidence, and sort of I'm a trained counsellor anyway, so I sort of used some of my counselling skills and just sort of gave him some coping strategies, and made him realise sort of how special he actually was, and he's a clever lad. Again, it's just overcoming some anxieties, so putting some coping strategies in place. I think exercise is a major factor. I think once you start exercising, you feel a lot better in yourself. Start eating in a different way. But again, if these young people have never been told this or taught this, or and a lot of young people that I work with, their families struggle too. So they have no sort of role models, no direction, and no purpose in life at some point. So I just bring them back to where they are. We tap into their interests. So this young person had an interest of cars and transport. Ever so sort of clever with his autism, he could remember sort of everything, so many facts that. And I see these kind of, the autism ADHD is a superpowers. I don't see them as a disability. I see them as a superpower. So we tapped into that, and we went down the route of tapping into his interest. So everything we did, English, maths, even our exercise, was built around this young person's interest. The more they sort of become relaxed, and the more they sort of see how far they've come, then I think they start to realise that they put the trust in you. And now this young person catches the bus all over Leicestershire, has passed his moped sort of licence, confident enough to go into a shop and cook for himself. And yeah, he's just functioning as we all do in life. But so it's, yeah, again, I think you have to tap into a young person's interest, build the trust up with that young person, let them know that the way I sort of work is behind sort of every sort of outburst is an emotion. So I try to forget sort of the behaviour and focus on why that young person is acting the way they do. Like I say, yeah, we tap into a lot of young person's interests, but we do sort of bring sport and sort of well-being and fitness into that as well.
Wow, that is incredible. I don't have any words. If I'm a carer looking after a potential student of Generation Youth, how can I get involved? How accessible are the courses and what Generation Youth does?
With any young person who's been diagnosed with ADHD, autism, they usually come with an EHCP, which is an education and healthcare plan. This gives them sort of a legal sort of route into any kind of provision that would meet their needs. So if a parent was asking if they could sort of attend Generation Youth, they would have to go to their school if they was enrolled at the school, and the school have a Senko, and the Senko sort of send them sort of my way, or we'll look into if we can work with this young person. We are on the County Council's sort of website, so we work closely with Leicestershire County Council, and we work with all the city and the county schools, secondary schools. So any young person that is struggling or has been excluded, they will be picked up by their sort of head of year, and the head of year will then look at what package is right for this young person. So we just don't take any young person. They have to sort of buy into us. And if they like outdoor sports, if they like boxing, if they like some of the things that we can offer, then I will sort of welcome any young person. But if a young person comes to me, for instance, and says, no, I like art and design, I won't sort of say, well, you can stay with me, because I'll be failing that young person. So what I do then is I go and sort of look for another provision for this young person. I won't just bat it back to the school, because I understand then this young person's going to be left in the system again. So, yeah, there is referral routes, but they usually come through schools or the county council or the city council.
So let's break down what Generation Youth actually offers as a program. Is it me just taking up one course in one particular area and training in that, or can I almost mix and match different training resources to build a whole curriculum?
So, yes, you can. We don't offer the functional skills part because there is other provisions out there. But what we do is we work with these provisions for the English, maths and the science. But the life skills, the community access, we offer short course awards, which is the ASDAN, the Prince's Trust. But what we do first of all is we start our day talking about our thoughts and feelings, and then we sort of go from there. So a young person might come to me and, you know, want to box, and that'd be their interest, and we can build that into their package. They might want to come and do some cooking, but what we try to do is encourage every young person to try something else. So yes, we do offer many packages. The only thing we don't offer is the functional skills, but again, we work closely with other provisions and other schools. My main aim is for young people that are still on roll at school is to get them back into school, but be able to cope with their coping strategies, because schools are amazing places. They just, again, they just need sometimes a little bit of guidance and, again, something different. So, for example, we've got a young person at the moment who's just about to join the army, wasn't doing very well in school. School didn't want to exclude him because then it would look bad if he was applying for the army. So they came to me and said, Spencer, can he come to you one day a week and then come to school and do his functional skills? I said, yes, he can come and do that. We've worked on his coping strategies of what he needs to do when he feels anxious, when he needs to speak to someone. Now we get to the point that this young person comes for a couple of hours every day just when he's feeling anxious or when he needs to sort of take a step back, shall we say. And it works, and the school have sort of noticed a difference. And now he's just been accepted to join the paratroopers, which is an amazing achievement. So, it's success stories like that that really make my job worthwhile.
Is that your sense of achievement then? Seeing these personal journeys, these personal stories, these personal achievements that people have made through your organisation?
Oh yes, without doubt. We sort of celebrate the slightest success. So even if a young person comes to me and starts to express himself or herself a lot more, again, that's an achievement in my eyes. A lot of young people come to Generation Youth with not much sort of, you know, they feel that they've been let down, but they're very angry with the world, and then they give up and they don't see any sort of future. So someone like the young person I just mentioned who was going down the sort of wrong route, even though his aims were to join the army, he got into the wrong crowd. The support that myself and Dean from Mini Warriors gave him, you know, put him back on track. And this is just, we're just guiding them. We're not, you know, we don't take any credit. We're just guiding these young people. They've got their skills. They just need someone to believe in them and give them a little bit of direction and a purpose. I don't think if a young person's not got no purpose in life, I think this is where the problems arise. And if their dreams have been knocked and been told that they can't, you know, they can't do this and they won't achieve this, again, I think that's where a lot of systems are failing these young people. We believe in every young person in our group, and like I say, we celebrate success every sort of opportunity.
So what are the plans for the future then? How are you going to reach those aims and objectives for Generation Youth?
I think sort of working in more partnership with more young people, with more agencies, getting out there and sort of speaking to companies, and I think just my passion of just to say, look, give these young people a chance. And continue just to pass that message on that, you know, we believe in every young person that comes to us. So we're not giving up. And like I say, just getting more agencies out there to understand what we do and maybe give these young people a chance in life.
So Spencer, finally, how can we find out more about Generation Youth and support everything that you do?
So we have a website, which is generationyouth.co.uk. You can find us on Instagram, which is Generation Youth CIC, but anyone in school, we're on sort of a directory where parents and teachers can look for us and gain our information from there.
You heard from Spencer Atkin there of Generation Youth, one of our elite champions at Koi Sports. Find out how you can get involved too and support us in developing social change and promoting a sports for all culture through grassroots sports by visiting our website, koisports.co.uk. Now let's hear from the organisation that Spencer has decided to invest in, Dean Weston from Mini Warriors.
My name's Dean. I'm the founder of Mini Warriors Limited, a fitness bootcamp for children and adults based in Leicester, and I've been doing it for about 2 years now. I initially set it up because I wanted something for my children to do. You've always got your football and things like that, but I wanted something unique and something kind of outside of the box, if you know what I mean. And it just started off with just me setting up a few ties and a few water drums on the local park. And then it's kind of just exploded from there. It's kind of, parents have approached me saying, oh, can my children do this? What's this all about? Obviously, I was getting quizzed by different parents and things like that. And then it went from 3 or 4 children every Saturday to between 50 and 60 children every Saturday.
How does Mini Warriors work then? What kind of sessions do you have? And who is it particularly aimed at? Just children or can everyone get involved?
So Mini Warriors was predominantly, when I started it up, it was just for children. But then as obviously parents bringing their children to it, they started saying, do you do anything for adults? But predominantly it's at children from the age of 5 up to 15. And depending on ability of 16-year-olds, they will either fit in the Templar session or they would move up into the adult session. But I do predominantly train children 5 to 15, but now also adults as well. It's all abilities. So it's not, I'm not going to restrict or stop anyone from turning up. If someone wants to work out, someone wants to benefit from the physical exercise, then who am I to turn them away? So all ages.
I was going to say, I imagine this is pretty important for those young people or even adults who may not necessarily want to be part of a football team or rugby team, for example, but still want to remain active and challenge themselves in some way.
With football and rugby, things like that, you've got to be good at it. You've got to have an element of skill set and things like that. And, their coach and things, they will pick, make, you know, the best people. Whereas here, all you're doing is running around, you're doing lifting, pulling, pushing exercise and things like that. You don't necessarily need to have the confidence initially because the children, for instance, they're going to see it as fun. They're going to see it as they're going to be running around on a park with loads of other people, making new friends, because everyone is going to be in exactly the same boat. No one gets treated differently at all, regardless of age, gender or anything. Everyone gets treated exactly the same.
And I suppose with this, not only you get the social and physical benefit, but also the mental side of things as well. Because, for example, if a young person is maybe having an exam at school, this is going to really help take their mind off it and focus on something completely different.
I always go on about promoting mental and physical health. When you talk about boot camps, you think, oh yeah, you've got to be physically strong, you've got to be able to run around a lot, you've got to be able to do this, you've got to be able to do that. When actually, you know, if you're telling yourself you can't do it, or your brain is telling yourself you can't do it, then you're not going to do it. So you've got to be mentally strong as well. And I think that's probably more key than the physical, because you've got to want to be able to go and do it. So you've got to talk to yourself, or talk to the person, so you mentally got to be prepared to do it before you physically doing it yourself.
And I suppose it helps set young people up for the future when they may not necessarily be part of that rugby team, that football team, that basketball team, but are working out on their own in the gym with a positive mindset.
If you set your child, your son or your daughter up from the off on the right foot, i.e. doing fitness, they see it as a fun and non-laborious burden to their life. They will carry this on for far longer than if they're being pushed into it. So if they see it as fun, they're going to want to do it naturally themselves, as in motivate themselves to go and do it without any added pressure of other people trying to say, look, you need to do this for this benefit. Whereas if they see it as a benefit themselves, they're more inclined to carry it on further into their life.
So let's look at Mini Warriors from a business perspective. What are the biggest challenges that you face to stand out within the local community?
It's the confidence, I guess, because there are a few other companies out there that do similar to what I do. But a lot of people would use the generic gyms and things like that as their go-to option. And it's also getting people to understand because a lot of people would say, "Oh, this looks too scary. It looks really daunting." Or an ex-British Army soldier, I don't really fancy that. Whereas if you can kind of get into their head, but speak to them in a way that they understand, so they don't think it's scary or daunting, but actually enjoyable, and the benefits are there, clearly there to see. The challenging thing for myself really is being able to approach the people and get them to understand what I'm actually trying to do without scaring them, because like I said, they hear the army, they see the kit, it can become quite daunting.
So you've had this investment from Spencer and Generation Youth through Koi Sports. What does that funding mean to you and your organisation?
The investment I got from Spencer was an amount of money through that, because obviously he wanted to give Mini Warriors a certain an element of investment through what we did through Koi Sports. And that was two particular items. It was two slam balls. So a lot of people would just say, oh yeah, it's just a 10 kilogram slam ball and just a 4 kilogram slam ball. But what that actually meant was the 10 kilogram one meant many more adults could actually partake in different particular exercises far more comfortably, and giving them that element of belief that they can do something by having another option of a different weight. The 4 kilogram slam ball, same concept, but with children. Okay, so again, if the children have the confidence and they believe they can do what it is they've been asked to do, their morale will jump up. Obviously, that will help them mentally. And of course, and the follow-on to that, because they've been mentally strong, that will improve to make them physically strong. So the investment was just two slam balls. But it's not just two slam balls. It's more opportunity for children and adults to improve themselves mentally and physically.
Well, it seems like the foundations of Mini Warriors are certainly there. So what are the aims and objectives for the future growth? What does that look like for you and your business?
Eventually, I mean, I guess my ultimate goal, dream, as cliche as it sounds, I would love to have my own piece of land in Leicester. So obviously then I'm not confined or restricted to other, you know, companies like the councils and things like that. I want to, hopefully would like to branch out. So I'd like to get a second van and hopefully find that person that almost clones myself, because that's got to be one of the most daunting things, where is if you're putting your business's name with someone else and ultimately they're going to be representing yourself. So I'd like to grow in that respect. And also just the ability of just helping as many children and adults as I possibly can. That's what I want to do, and that's all I've set out. That's all I want to do right from the off, just help as many people as I possibly can.
Well, Dean, you're a very inspirational person. How can we find out more about Mini Warriors and support you in what you do?
You've got Facebook, that's Mini Warriors. You've got Instagram, which is mini.warriors. Also a website, miniwarriors.co.uk. Or just find my number and just give me a ring. If anyone wants help, that's what I'm here for, and I will gladly do that.
And that's it for this week's Koi Sports CIC Grassroots podcast. A big thanks to Spencer and Dean for discussing their business and grassroots organisation. If you have a spare 5 minutes after listening to this episode of the podcast, make sure to check out our other projects on the Koi Sports website. And finally, don't forget to download and subscribe so that you never miss any of our future episodes. And I'll see you next time.